there, I'm board-certified professional organizer Kathy Burns. I'm really glad you're here. This podcast is designed for busy entrepreneurs just like you who want to take better control of your business and move forward with less stress and more success. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The Organize Energize podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at thepodcast.organizeandenergize.com. Come back often and feel free to add this podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Organize Energy and Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining me. Today, we're going to talk about how to 3 to 10x your business with intuition and higher guidance. And I'm talking with my guest, Dr. Sophia Trevina. The reason I wanted you to meet her, because she's a global award-winning professor. She's well-rounded. She's an author, a speaker, and a founder and CEO. She's also a world-renowned intuitive executive coach and angel-led business strategist. She serves hundreds of CEOs in 25 countries around the world. She holds a degree in mechanical engineering. These are several degrees, right? Mechanical engineering, sustainable urban development, and political science and economics. And she specializes in evolving business and our societal systems. Dr. Sophia's intuition opened 20 years ago when she was a 30-year-old engineer leader in tech. She decided to use the scientific approach of rigorously following signs, synchronicity, dreams, and knowings as an experiment just to see what would happen. So over the next 2 decades, she discovered we all have spirit guides and can learn how to work with them and natural energies for ease and support. So let's talk about how to 3 to 10x your business with intuition and higher guidance. Let's meet Dr. Sophia. Hello, I'm here with Dr. Sophia, and I'm so glad that you're on the show. We're going to talk about a lot of really cool stuff, including how to call in your higher awareness to help you with your business. So thank you for being on the show, Sophia.
Thank you so much for having me, Kathy. It's just a joy to be here.
Absolutely. This is going to be a fun talk. So talk to me a little bit about your background. You've been in several countries. I know you're originally from Canada. Let's talk about your journey just a little so people can get to know you just a little bit.
Okay, wonderful. I'd love to. I know that this is about entrepreneurship, and I have been an entrepreneur for 20 years, and I had a really, I think, a unique origin story for that. I started as a mechanical engineer at IBM in the late 90s, and when I discovered that what we were doing, setting up, you know, manufacturing plants for computers in other countries, was really exploitive to people on the planet, especially the women they hired. I mean, for example, they only hired women because they were more docile and would work longer hours for less pay, and they were open about that. I left, and I had no spiritual connection, no religion, no intuition. I was a hardcore scientist. And yet, you know, sort of I went into sadness and depression and anxiety, and I didn't know what to do. We didn't have resources back then like we do now, nor basically the internet. So in my, you know, breakdown, I was just crying for help with my heart. And the next day I started getting signs, really noticeable signs that my mathematical mind knew were so improbable that 3 times in 1 day, different people would mention the same notion of me quitting my job.
Mm-hmm. Is that before you quit your job or after?
Before I quit my job.
Before, okay.
And I was like, 3 times in 1 day, people mentioned that I should quit. That's very improbable. Then I was in a restaurant talking. I lived in Toronto at the time. I'm from Canada, 3 million people in this city. And we were sitting in a restaurant and I told her the story, and she's a reporter for the newspaper in Toronto Star. And she's very pragmatic as well. And she's like, do you think this means something? And we're both like, no. And I said, no one my age quits. No woman got as far as I got, and no one quits. And in that moment, a woman walked into the restaurant that was my age that had quit 2 months previous to teach physics to kids.
And I said, from IBM?
Yeah.
From IBM or from somewhere else?
IBM.
Wow.
And I don't know if you know I don't know if you know this, but the motto of you don't quit IBM. It's literally a known motto that means that when you have a mothership that's going to take care of you like that, you don't leave it.
Wow. Okay.
And it was a woman my age who had quit to teach physics to kids. And I said to my friend, no one except for that woman who just walked into this restaurant in Toronto. And I got up and talked to her, and she put her hands on my shoulder. She's like, do it. It's the best thing I ever did. And I did. And I had no idea what was going to come next. But I decided that something made some physics I didn't understand. I thought it was physics. Some physics of how reality works told me what to do, and it's going to keep telling me what to do. And so for the next 3 years, I decided to live entirely by signs and see what happened because I had nothing else. I had
Yeah,
nothing else.
right. Because you just quit, right?
Just it. I had nothing else. So my whole memoir, I actually pulled out my books beside me. So this is my memoir, Life Beyond What I Know. What if you decided to live entirely by intuition? I just kind of summed up the first three chapters, and then the whole next 3 years are summarized in this book that had me do so many things. And one of them was discover the word and notion of sustainability. And the second one was move my entire world and life to Hawaii.
Okay.
20 people in 1 week mentioned Hawaii to me at the end of by the end of the 3 year journey.
20, 2-0.
2-0, including me being alone at a restaurant and someone, the waiter, saying, "While you're waiting for your food, why don't you read this book?" And it was a book called Hawaiian Elders Speak.
I love it. I love it.
Me too. And the elders were talking about getting signs, and I'd never heard of anyone getting signs. It's not like today where you hear about things. We had memes or anything. I was a scientist just trying to like survive and find my next step. And so I was like, oh, these are the only people I've ever heard of that also have signs and use them to wander around the islands and go on big walkabouts. And anyways, I went there and I spent the next 10 years there. I ended up meeting my own spirit guides while I was meditating, living on the islands, and they guided me for the next 10 years to get my PhD, become a professor of sustainability, and lead a sustainability movement for the whole state.
That's awesome. From Toronto to Hawaii. What
Yes.
island were you on?
I lived in Honolulu because that's where the university was, but I lived way back in the jungle behind the university for the first 2 years off grid, and that's where I met my guides in meditation. When I was away from everyone and everything.
Yeah,
And
nature's
afterwards,
best.
yes, nature. I had never been immersed in nature to that level before. I was the only man-made thing in sight. I was a 5-minute hike down into the jungle floor where I had a single room, little hale house that had been built, and I had nothing else but nature and me. And that's when I was able to meditate and meet my guides, who specifically told me almost every day exactly what to do with the day. Wear a nice outfit, you're going to be pulled into an important meeting. It's going to be with people a lot older than you, but speak your heart and mind. Don't let them bend your mind. You're here to bend their minds. Even if everyone disagrees with you, vote for your what's right for you. So every day, my guides and angels told me what to do for years.
That's pretty incredible. And I think, being immersed, it helps you hear better. But obviously, you were open and receptive without knowing it when you were in Toronto. I
Yes.
mean,
Yes, I think in my memoir, what did I say? I said, if necessity is the mother of invention, then desperation is the midwife of miracles.
that's a great quote. Yes, we'll have to put that one in the show notes for
Love
sure.
it.
I
Love
love
it.
it.
Yeah, I haven't thought of that one for a long time, but I always say, then I became an entrepreneur after that, or while I was a professor for those 10 years in Hawaii, I was also an entrepreneur. And I always say that I've never been comfortable enough to be away from my faith. And my middle name is actually Faith, Sophia Faith Trivenna. Literally, that is my legal name. And faith to me is, well, the actual definition of it is having proof from unseen sources. It's not just blind faith not having proof. I had enough proof that following signs and dreams and synchronicities and listening to these angelic beings that felt like an ocean, like a universe of love that gave me specific guidance. I proved to me on a daily basis that that was the best next step for me always.
Well, getting, that's such a blessing to get specific guidance, like knowing that you need to get dressed up, knowing that you need to speak your truth. I mean, the speak your truth, that's like a universal thing, but let's get dressed up on this particular day is pretty earth shattering, right? That you could hear that and then acknowledge it. I mean, I think we hear a lot of things, but we don't acknowledge or we don't act.
I think that's true. And I was an experiential adventurer in it because I needed something to take me along the path. And it was so successful the first time that I needed to learn how to use it because I didn't have anything else. I was at the mercy of miracles for my next step continually. And That was 20 years ago. I was 30. I was about 27, 28 when that started. I was 32 when I moved to Hawaii. I'm almost 52, so it's 20 years. And it was when I was 33, right after my 33rd birthday, I met my guides, and I worked with them exclusively for a decade. And in that decade, I got very specific guidance, like, don't charge $12 for that, charge $10 for that. You're going to have twice the number of people that respond to it. Or don't do it on that date, do it on this date. And I ended up, owning a co-working space that was the central hub for the entrepreneurial sector of green business that I pioneered there. And I really believed in a third sector of the economy beyond tourism and military. And I said, let's make a green business. And I took the bet, and then I became a professor, and I hired the best students into my internship program, the best interns into my engineering sustainability consulting firm. And I created a whole ecosystem, and then we needed a home, and then I realized all the green businesses needed a home, so created the co-working space. We did 300 events a year to grow that sector. We all advocated for policy such as the 100% renewable energy goal Hawaii has now. I wanted a trail that a five-year-old could say, I want to be a sustainability professional when I grow up, and she would have a path through all of school. So there's academic trails now, classes that she could go all the way and be supported into doing that. So I really was an entrepreneur, and also set up the entrepreneurial sector, being guided. And I always say entrepreneurship is a spiritual journey.
I do believe so. I'm with you on that. So for those listening, if you've had numerous signs, the same thing over and over coming to you, please listen, because that is something that is, prodding you to take some action or to make a step or to look a different way, or at least to listen, right?
Absolutely. And experiment. And I always say, I mean, I've coached so many people now on this, but I always say, do it in a benign situation. So you're not trying to use intuition to change your life like I did. That was probably the most intense, terrifying possible way of doing it. Do it like, give me a sign whether I'm supposed to go to this party tonight or not. Give me a sign whether, this person that wants to come into my life as a closer friend is a good idea or not. You're not going to be devastated when you find out the answer after you follow intuition. It's just going to be an experiment. And chapter of my memoir is an experiment. An experiment, should I quit my job based on signs from the universe, is one of the early chapters. And then it's, our guardian angel's reel is one of the last chapters. But do your own experiment in a way that's smaller, and learn to trust what that feels like, what the yes feels like, what the no feels like. Play it out, and then all of a sudden you'll notice organically that you're starting to get that knowing, that tingles on the arms, or that flush in your face, or the spine straightening is a big one for everyone. Does your spine straighten and your chest lift, or do you ouch, or it's like almost like the spine is an antenna for truth.
Yeah, and your spine is health, so I can understand that. Yeah, I know the
Absolutely.
more supple your spine is, the healthier you are throughout the rest of your life.
Right. And I love when we can try on two options. Even, the arena will get bigger. Take this contract or not take this contract. Charge this much or that much, and see which one makes your spine, straighten, your chest lift, your maybe a smile on the corner of your mouth. Like, oh, that's the brightening. That's the expansive path. There's energy there. And I believe that that's the instinct animals feel when they're like, oh, the water's that way. Oh, that's where the flock's going. There's an energy stream they're in that's invisible, and that we have access to, because we're not the only animal that doesn't have instinct. We've just, used the mind to override it rather than work with it.
Right. Well, all this monkey chatter stuff going on. Yeah, I was in a store yesterday, and I was just noticing how much lack of energy there was. And I'm thinking, this store is going to close. I can feel it. There's like no movement, no energy. It's interesting, even though they had switched everything around, like everything was different and everything was in different places. But it was just stale and stagnant, and I felt bad for the store, because I could tell just immediately. What would be the first step for someone? I mean, I know you talked a little bit about it, but start with something benign. So what do you suggest for people who've never done this, who don't necessarily even believe in it, but they want to just let's play?
Yes, I love this, and it should be play. It is play. And I didn't believe it either, so I understand that. And I feel like until you have your own experience, you cannot do this without having your own experience. I don't believe, because only it's such a subtle body knowing and a feeling, and you need to have an experiential win to gain the confidence and the trust, and you need to build it over time, like anything, like any relationship, and a relationship with your intuition. It needs to begin somewhere. So you're kind of like, what's the first date with your with your intuition look like? I always say to say, show me beyond a shadow of a doubt in the next few days how my intuition works. And all of my clients begin there, and I've worked with a few hundred clients in 25 countries now, many ages, cultures, genders, mostly CEOs from, small entrepreneurs to the biggest companies in the world, director level. So I've got to see this a lot. And when people do that within the next few days, something happens.
Okay, so show me
In the next few days,
the next few days.
how my intuition can guide me.
Brilliant. Love it. Easy breezy.
Easy breezy, simple. And some examples, people have come back to me and said, I had this dream and it so clearly showed me making this decision and regretting it. Is that it? And I was like, yes, and that's what you play out. And then you have the confidence with it. And someone else would be like, I keep getting goosebumps every time someone says something like this. And I'm like, that's when the truth. So trust the goosebumps, play it out and see what happens.
Wow, that's really good.
Everyone, on the top of my website, what I loved is I asked the angels, I want my website to be a journey for people, that they come into a world that feels different than a website, where they feel you the way I feel you, and show me what that would look like. And what I saw was billowing curtains to a door, which is the top of my website. And it says there are 8 billion doors to the world of higher wisdom. Which one is yours? Because I feel that for 8 billion people, there's 8 billion doors to how you connect and how you know what truth is.
Yeah, no one way. Because I think we're all individuation, so we're all going to have our own little journey as
Yeah.
such. And I think that even I think everybody believes in intuition. They might not believe in spirit guides or a source or that type of thing, but we've all felt that spidey sense, that gut instinct about things. Whether we listen to it or not, that's a whole nother thing.
Sure. Fair. That's the biggest thing. And I feel like entrepreneurs have even more access to it because they are creating the system. They are, in a way, carving their trailblazers. They're carving an unmapped path. And so there's a bit more reliance on that. And, in business, it's called the gut instinct and that sort of thing. But you have probably had more practice than someone that's in a 9-to-5 job in a corporation that's told what to do, when you have to carve the path rather than follow the path, there's a reliance on it and it becomes more intrinsic. And most people, and you probably agree with this, we can say, is there a time you knew it but you didn't follow it? And how did that turn out? Is there a time you had that intuitive hit and you followed it? And how did that turn out? So we have mine to begin with. And what if we really asked, really literally asked our system, our nervous system to notice more? To use that more.
Yeah, that's good. I think I'm gonna do that. I love being an entrepreneur because it is such a creative process. And I think that creativity is a spark from something. Whenever we create something new, we've got some kind of a spark from somewhere. And
Sure.
that's what it's all about. And that's why I love actually what I do, because I think that our spark gets hidden.
Yes.
When we get stuck in busyness and we get stuck with too much stuff, like you had to go to like a little one room in the middle of a forest to kind of tap.
Oh, yeah.
And we get so busy and we get so strung out on our business and our busyness, that we forget why we were even doing what we were doing, let alone listening to spirit tell us this, that, or the other, right? We're just, stuck
Well
in.
said. Well said. Absolutely. I mean, how much seat at the table does intuition have in the business strategy process, and how much room is made for creativity rather than plowing through the list? And this, these are all feminine qualities, right? So this is, another huge discovery of mine, which is that when I went into my PhD in Hawaii and I was leading this whole, green business movement in the state and had businesses, the co-working center, the consulting firm, I wanted to focus on the power of business and what if it was used as a force of good? What if it's the opposite of what I experienced as an engineer that was so exploitive to people on the planet? And then I discovered that there was many businesses that were doing this successfully, and they had all got the same certification, B Corp, which was the gold standard in the world of doing business this way. So I proposed that I interviewed B Corp leaders around the world and found out what they were doing and why was it working, what wasn't working. So I did that. And the result of all of that beautiful communication and conversation and heartfelt vulnerability from these great leaders was that they were all doing seven of the same things, and it was actually 3 to 10xing their profits.
Yep, which is the top title for this podcast.
Really? Yes. I actually don't know that I noticed that. That's amazing.
Yes, it is. You wrote it in. Had a right. 3 to 10x,
Okay.
It's been a
okay.
while because... Yeah. So that's exciting. And so most of them were doing similar things.
Yes.
However, in different ways, I would assume.
Very different ways. And I distilled it into a framework of 7 guiding principles that your business would do right by people on the planet and help business and humanity fit into the flow of nature, making the experience of being human better. And 3 to 10xing profits with very values aligned, mission driven businesses that were surprising. Like you would think, okay, the obvious thing is to make sure each choice you make is, considering climate change. That would be a very obvious one. The 7 that came through were not obvious. I think they were not obvious. They were very structural. And for example, one was to actually gather the passions of everyone that works there and make sure that their passions are being woven in power around the mission rather than assembled into hierarchy. So one of the principles is arrange all resources around the mission, and that include human passion. And when people did that, when leaders did that, they had engagement levels go up. And fascinatingly, on the stock market, if there is high engagement in your company, you perform 20% better on the stock market. And that means that over 60% of people said they're highly engaged at work. If you have less than that number, you're 40% lower on the stock market.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And it makes sense, because if you just tell people what to do and they have the hierarchical management, but there's no real talk about the mission, and you're not hiring people that resonate with the mission, then you end up with, losing 40%. That's a lot.
It's a big number that translates into profits. And that's why when you take that one principle, and I work with people, of course, I do VIP days all the way to months or years long consulting with them. And what we will do with a project, and I started this with my own team of 10 back in Hawaii, is we would stick it note everything that needed to happen for the project. We trained 70% of the National Guard in Hawaii to energy audit their own buildings. And so we were like, this is what we need to do. We need spreadsheets. We need equipment. We need a schedule. We need a manager. We put it all there, and everyone grabbed the sticky notes that resonated with them.
Ah, that's a great way to do it.
Thank you for that. Because this is what
organized. And they chose, and they were invested because they actually took, and I like the physicality as well, because it's more of a commitment, physically take the sticky note and then claim it. That's smart, girl. You're smart.
It was really cool. And then the ones that were left on the table, we were like, which ones are you drawn to, but you don't have the skill set for, and you'd like to be supported in learning or practicing? And then they all went away and everything got done. And I've done this over 20 years with my companies and many companies. They all get taken up. Nothing's ever left on the table, including one student saying, I want to just learn how bureaucracy works and how it stops things. So I just want to walk and get things signed. And if I have to wait a whole day outside of an office, I want to find out why and how. So even the most mundane task wanted to be taken on by someone to learn something. And other people would say, I l would love to manage, but I've never done it. And I'm like, well, what would you need for mentorship for that? And then we'd make a mentorship plan for them, whether it's me or someone else on the team, said, I've managed forever, but I don't want to do it anymore, but I'd sure love to teach someone how to do it. So the team self-organized into what support they needed. And then when we looked at their Stick-It notes, we as a team came up with a cool title for them. I'm a taskmaster. I'm the strategy accelerator. Everyone came up with their own title. So there was that. And then it was like, what kind of meetings and what kind of rhythm do we need to have that? Well, that should be once a month. That should be called this kind of meeting, that kind of thing. So we structured it all. I didn't need to motivate anyone. I didn't need to follow. I didn't need to check on anyone. We didn't need
Micromanage, right? None of
no
that.
micromanaging. We had a team philosophy that if you started to feel insecure, overwhelmed, unequipped, that that was what our meetings were for, to workshop the challenges and edges people were coming up, whether it was in personal development, all the way to, I don't know how to do this important strategic thing. We did not use meetings for updates. I did this, I did that. We
Right.
assumed you're doing your job. And if you're hitting a glitch in doing it or within yourself, that's what we'd come together for.
Wow, that is such a different way to think about things.
Right. And that's just one of the principles. And I'll grab another book that all got summarized in my book, The Power of the Divine Feminine in Business. Because it's a feminine quality to care, to nurture, to go into collaborate
Collaborate.
instead of competition, work in a circle and network instead of a hierarchy. Organize power not around people, but around the mission. So that's just one example. That's, everything I just shared is maybe, a part of one chapter, and it's a whole book on the findings from that research, all my examples, and the living example of my current company, which is just started a year ago. It's with my best friend of 25 years. And we are taking these principles and we're starting a company in our, in our middle age. And my name's Sophia, her name's Anya. The company's called Stefania.
I love it. And what are you doing with Stefania?
It is a beauty, wellness, and wisdom company. So it's beautiful, clean, organic skincare, nutrition, blissful sleep gummies, especially for those, and 20% qualify for this title of sensitive and intuitive. There's 20 people, 20% of people are highly sensitive. And so the skincare is actually food. The sleep gummies aren't melatonin, they don't mess with your system, they support the system, and the byproduct is deep sleep. They're very specific, really clean organic formulas that are bolster the sensitive nervous system. And so they're good for the sensitive ones, which makes them good for everyone. Right. And each of them has a QR code to go to our sacred rituals, which is addressing burnout, which 60, 70% of managers say they're in burnout. 50% of the
Absolutely.
US workforce say they're in burnout. So we have sacred rituals of how to integrate these into a flow from the morning, through breaks, through the shower, through coming home, with guided meditations, with breathing techniques that go along with using each of the either supplements or the sacred ritual, body oil, these types of things. All of them are to allow the sensory system to relax and activate the vagus nerve, et cetera. So we're basically creating a whole system of products and rituals that allow you to transcend out of burnout. And that's the Sephania Beauty Wellness and Wisdom brand. And it's so fun.
Congratulations. I absolutely love that. And, I can't tell you how many of my clients, when we begin work together, cannot sleep well.
Oh,
There's a
right.
lot of women who are not sleeping out
Right.
there.
Especially with perimenopause, menopause, and even before I hit perimenopause, it was happening. We're just holding way too much, especially as it's just too much. And I've been doing the intuitive executive coaching for 10 years. I have not had a single client, not one, that doesn't talk about sleep challenges and anxiety and depression less, but more nervous system charge. And these address all of it. The supplements in our protein shake completely bring you into the parasympathetic nervous system, but doesn't take you in a depressive mode. It's more in a nourished, prepared to be responsive mode. So it doesn't make you drowsy or deplete you or, suppress yourself. It basically brings you into your higher cortex, your ability to respond rather than react. It's a beautiful supplement tonic in a protein shake that's
All right.
just.
We will definitely put the link in the show notes for
Perfect.
people. So,
I would love that. And
yeah.
we're launching exactly when this podcast is supposed to come out, so it'll be perfect timing.
Oh, good.
SophaniaBeauty.com, and we have a podcast called Everyday Magic by Sophania.
Nice.
And you were listening to two best friends of 25 years. Anya is a mom of two. I'm not. I've lived in 25 countries. She's lived in New York, Chicago, and now LA. Two different lives. I was maid of honor for her 20 years ago. She has recently been through a divorce and is reclaiming a life. I have been mostly single. So we're these two very different women who've loved each other for decades, talking about sacred everything, sacred self, sacred business, sacred intuition, all the things two best friends talk about, and building a business with your best friend.
I love that. That's fantastic. Excellent. Excellent. Okay, so I have to ask you, you've launched so many businesses and you've run so many things throughout your life. What's your favorite tool to keep you on task, organized, anything, just anything? It could be tech, it could be not tech, whatever.
I love this. Sure. And Anya would laugh right now so much. We have this thing where she loves Slack and I don't. But that's not my answer. I figured it my way a long time ago. I use Google Calendar for everything.
Yes.
So what I do personally is on my Monday, I start at midnight and I have a square, a calendar piece for everything I need to do that week. And at the beginning of the week, I take, I need to follow up with this client. I need to send this invoice. I need to write this article. And each one is an hour scheduled. And I look at my week and I put it where I think I'm going to do it. And then in the notes, anything that happens that, informs that, I add it in there. Oh, I have an idea for that article. I put it in the notes of that calendar.
The notes of that calendar event.
Right. And I'll put a
Awesome.
link to it for an article that inspired me. Anything, I just keep plopping it in there.
Yeah.
And then when I open it, I'm like, oh, right, I wanted to read this article because it's inspiration. I'll put the email of the person I need to email. I'll put some notes from our call. So even during the call, I'll put, oh, I need to follow up in a week, and I'll put all the notes and then I'll move it to where I'm going to follow up. So when I basically move
It's
everything
all
into
there.
where I want. And if I don't get to it that day, I move it to where I think I'm next going to do it. And at the end of the week, I look at anything that didn't get done and I move it to the next week and do it again. So I do it all through calendar.
You're using calendar like a CRM. That's pretty funny. That's pretty
Doing
cool.
it for 20 years, and I've never felt limited by it. So when people introduce other things, I'm like, you're just doing what I already do in one place.
Right.
Yeah.
Doing everything in one place is always the best idea of all.
So
Absolutely.
maybe that's a little Luddite, maybe that's a little, mechanical engineering way of liking things in grids and
Yeah, no, I love the idea of, I call it a one-stop shop. Let's have everything here and everything here. And please don't use two calendars. Always use one. And you always have your calendar with you because we always have our phone now attached to
Sure.
our body, pretty
Absolutely.
much.
It's not your body, right? It's an extension of the hand. And
It is.
I love it. And what I love about it too is I use intuition with it because I've been doing it for so long. I started doing it when I was doing sales before I moved to Hawaii. And I would intuitively go to move the box of where I was going to do it. And I would feel whether I got that expansive feeling, my shoulders going back until I plopped, the person I was going to visit in all of British Columbia. I had the whole region, and someone would want to make an appointment about 3 months ahead. And I would use intuition of where to put it. But I'd get to that week 3 months later, and everyone was on the same street back to back without me knowing it.
That's amazing,
And
right?
it happened all over. So I've got such an intuitive way with my calendar of where to put it. And, if I have to have it done in the next 2 weeks, I'll intuit. Oh, it's not this week. It's next week. Is it Tuesday? That doesn't feel right. Oh, it's Wednesday at 3. That feels right. Boom. That's 20 years of practice of
Yeah,
that
I love
and
it.
validation.
And then so you look at the, you probably start with the week and moving things around, and then you just look at the day so that you
Yes.
can stay linear, right?
Yep. And even I had a really important meeting before this podcast interview, and I really felt into whether I move this. And I said, nope, that meeting's got to be succinct. I have to leave when I leave. They'll continue without me. I'm supposed to stay. I check in and feel into every single one to make sure if the day is set properly.
Fantastic. I love that. I've never considered actually keeping all the notes about the topic of the task in notes in the calendar event. That's smart. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm happy to share that. It really
Got
keeps me.
me.
You know what's nice about it? It's got each little of those boxes is a dump. It's a dump, and it keeps it out of my brain, my sleep, my nervous system.
Yep, what I call a brain dump for sure. I absolutely love that. I'm teaching a Google workshop coming up in September, and probably right after this airs. But it's interesting because every time I teach all the different things about Google, and I love the calendar part of it. I always learn something new. Like you taught me something new. I've been putting stuff in notes, but I haven't been keeping notes about the notes. Like I've been putting links and that type of thing, but notes about the notes in the notes about that particular thing is so smart.
It's
You're so
so
smart.
great. So great. It's so great because when I get there, I have this whole world I get to enter that I created over time
Right. And
that's
if you
not
want to
yet.
go back, if you want to go back, it's still there.
Well, what's beautiful is in the calendar, I can search for something too. I can remember some of the keywords and it can pop up, or I can, and then I, when I leave it in the calendar, I remember when it happened as well and what part of the day I was in. It just is really helpful.
Absolutely. It's
Great. I'd love
like
to share that.
journaling. I love, thank you. That's
Yeah.
a good little win.
I love it. And I don't even know that I've shared it with more than one or two people in my entire life. I've never thought of it as something that's valuable or interesting, but as I share it, I'm like, oh, that's a gem I should share more often.
Super. Yes, it's super incredible. Because just like all things Google, everything's being underutilized. And a lot of people don't use the description box. They don't use a lot of it that they could be using. That's just in calendar alone. They don't see the different time zones that they can see or that type of thing. So there's so much to learn, and it keeps getting better and better.
Right. And when we don't have to go through systems, between systems, we don't have that transactional. It's like, oh, it's time for this, and everything's right there.
Right. Yes, that's fabulous. Absolutely loving it. And then do you use Google Contacts?
Don't, no,
Really?
no.
Because
Yeah.
Google Contacts relate completely to the Google, to the Gmail and to the calendar. And you
Interesting.
can also have notes in the contacts, and then you can put their birthdays in there, and then they pop up on the calendar.
Oh, I love this. This is fascinating. And I'm managing or connected with very few people at a time. I have my business partner, Anya. We have a constellation of consultants, but we have a manager to manage them. And I have, a dozen clients at a time, and they're, 5 to 6 figure clients. And so I can only handle so many of them, and I'd only need so many of them because of the revenue they generate. That's it. I'm only really having less than 20 people in my field at any one time because I go so deep with each of them, and they're all in my calendar for the meetings we have. So I'm not really needing to hold a huge amount. I'm not looking at a pipeline, everyone that I'm supposed to connect with. I get guided about what kind of container, coaching container I'm supposed to create. It started at, single readings and then and sessions, and then it went to 6, then it went to 12, now it's at 15. And I get guided. Now you're doing 15 sessions for $25,000. Now you're doing a year for $150,000, and two people have already signed up for that. So I get told what to do, and then those people show up, and all of them show up in IRL. They're not from my pipeline, they're not from my posts.
Nice. I
Right.
love it.
They not have the same, people management needs, like my social and things like this, so to introduce people to my books and the resources on my website that are waiting there for them. But most of them won't become my clients. I've only met them when I'm guided to switch airplanes last minute and I sit beside them, or I've been at a hairdresser and the woman beside me.
Just like that, life just flows.
Absolutely. The flow always has my clients for me, and these other things that I do are for the larger community.
Yeah, when you're open and receptive, things will flow. Okay, I know that you have something that people can grab on. First off, go to the website, and when they go to the website, what is it that they can find about you?
That makes me happy because I really put a year with a really beautiful sacred woman who really got me. We really put time and heart into this to make it more of a journey than, just another thing you go and look at and breeze through, So it's really an invitation to go on an exploration of what would serve you, what would nourish you. So the resources are just waiting there for you. So there's five books. I've mentioned a few of them, but one I'd love to mention, which is called Living from Inner Clarity, How to Clear Your Energy, Access Your Truth, and Live Your Freedom. And it is a small few hour read. It's my smallest book on the potent tools to access your intuition and to clear yourself of other people's energy that might confuse you or block you or make you have thoughts or do things that are not really yours. And so really you get the access to your golden GPS and get to move from it. So that little nugget I gave it to you before about asking for your intuition, all my nuggets are in there. And it's actually boiled down to seven succinct rituals. I talk about the actual neuroscience and quantum physics behind it too, for anyone that needs that kind of scientific basis, because I did. You can also skip that part. I talk about my most potent stories of how I use the tools for myself and with clients. So you get really pragmatic examples of how to use it. And like I said, it's a few hour read that gives you the best of what I learned in 20 years in a few tight things that you can do daily that really changes everyone's lives that reads it. So I'm really happy to share that book. There's the memoir about where this journey began, because the single first question I get when anyone realizes my gift and is real, they're like, how did this begin? And I'm like, here's my memoir. Here's the answer. The living, the one, The Power of the Divine Feminine in Business, is, the handbook for creating a business that 3 to 10x is your business by incorporating these feminine ways to be with the masculine. And they're also the pillars of our company, Sifania. They are in every decision consults intellect and intuition. Every strategy has planning and emergence. Everything consults logic and creativity. So these are our pillars of our company. And we're always like, well, that's what logic says. What does intuition say? Well, that's what we can plan. Where is the space for emergence? This is how we do everything. And that's all contained in The Power of the Divine Feminine in Business. And then the last one I published was called The Power of the Divine Feminine in Intimacy. I published it on Valentine's Day of 2025. And this is because all the leaders I work with, we also end up having to get into how they're holding the intimacy with themselves, with their creator, and with their partner, and sacred sexuality, sacred sexual energy. When they release all of those into a harmonious inner world, a harmonious relational world, and the sexual energy is flowing, that's when their business magnifies. So I have to end up writing this one about all I had learned in the 20 years of how this actually matters and how we have to break a lot of the codes from patriarchy. I go back to the beginning of patriarchy 12,000 years ago and how it imbued how we hold ourselves, each other, and our businesses, and how we can break all those codes to let it really be unleashed and flow, and how that creates fulfillment and profits. So that's my last one. So those five books are waiting there.
I love it. Make sure you go to the website. We'll put it below in the show notes. And we will look forward to your launch, which should be happening like very quickly.
Yeah, it'll be either happening or soon to happen. And then the last thing on the website is there are actual programs you can join. There's a guided meditation series. There is a mastermind series. There's the 12-week program with me one-on-one. So lots of resources.
Beautiful. Thank you. That's very generous. And I'm so happy to have met you and to meet you through the EBC. And it's a pleasure. We will play together more, I'm sure.
I look forward to it. This has been an absolute delight. I say hi to all your community. Thanks for being with us. And I wish the best for you. And I'm really thankful. This has been lovely, Kathy. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, you guys, until next week, join me. Enjoy. Download stuff from Dr. Sophia. And let's start using our intuition. Let's start feeling into things instead of just moving our feet. Yeah, let's do it. That's your goal for this week, at least, and further and beyond. I'll see you then. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to hear more, feel free to subscribe on the platform of your choice. Also, if you feel so inclined, I would truly appreciate a good rating from you to me. Have a stellar day.